final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. It's one of the bigger environmental stories of our time, the decision by the Biden administration to pay special attention to old growth and mature forests on federal land. The process took a major step a couple of weeks ago with the publication of the DEIS, the Draft Environmental Impact Statement on the proposed National Old Growth Amendment. Since it is a draft, not a final, the door is flung open for public comment, and that door will stay open until late September. We have some reaction now from Dominic Della Sala, chief scientist at Wild Heritage and longtime researcher of old growth forests. He lives in the Rogue Valley, and he joins me in the studio. Dominic, welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks. Always a pleasure to be on your show, Jeffrey.
So give the scope of the DEIS. This is not just the West, where we tended to talk about old growth most often, is it?
It's national in scope, and it involves millions of acres of older forest on federal lands. Now, let's keep in mind that most of the nation's older forest in the contiguous United States were eliminated via European colonization and then westward expansion. So what we have now on federal lands are really a legacy to the public and an obligation by this administration to ensure that that legacy remains intact as we face the prospects of increasing climate threats and the loss of biodiversity globally.
Just by creating this old growth draft environmental impact statement, how much farther has this administration gone than any in the past?
Well, I think they took a baby step when they needed to take a leap.
Huh.
And it's been disappointing. And just to kind of backtrack a bit and how this all started. So back when Biden first came into office, there were four of us that sat around the table and tried to think about a strategy that would be a legacy gift by the Biden administration to the nation on par with the roadless conservation policy that the Clinton administration gave us in 2000. So it was just myself, Randy Spivak at the Center for Biological Diversity, Andy Kerr, and Neil Lawrence at the Natural Resources Defense Council. It then expanded to include hundreds of groups. The president then issued an executive order on Earth Day 2022 calling on federal agencies to inventory for conservation purposes the nation's older forest. They did that inventory, and that was a good step forward, but then they dropped the ball by blaming fire and insects for the demise of old forests nationwide and not the historic logging and the ongoing logging that is quite different than a natural disturbance in terms of how those ecosystems respond. So the disappointing part of this is that the solid, clear, strong protections for these older forests are not in place. And there's too much discretion in the document. There's no protection for mature forests. There is no inclusion of the Tongass rainforest in Alaska that has the nation's largest concentration of old growth forest. And there are a lot of other omissions in the document that leave a bunch of us, including a lot of conservation scientists, wondering why they didn't go further.
Well, the further is that you were last on in February, part of a team of scientists calling for a moratorium on logging in all mature and old growth forests. So this is very far from that.
It is, because it leaves the door open for logging for, quote, restoration and stewardship approaches, which will not accomplish that goal. They're trying to squash fires in these forests, and it won't work. The climate is changing drastically. It's driving these big fires. The places that the fires are burning most radically are in the plantations, the logged areas, not in the old forests that are serving more like a refugia, where fire intensities are lower and the climate is relatively cooler in these forests. Just take a hike in them on a hot July day like today. It could reach 100 degrees in the surroundings, in the clear cuts, and it'll be 10, 15 degrees cooler in those older forests.
Dominic Della Sala is the chief scientist at Wild Heritage and a Rogue Valley resident and a longtime studier of old growth forests. He's reacting to the old growth amendment at the federal government and the draft environmental impact statement toward implementing that old growth amendment. We'll talk about what we're amending in just a second, but you can join the conversation with an email to jx@jeffnet.org. So one of the things you were saying, though, no protection for old growth forests here. In fact, do you see potentially more management in the example you gave in an effort to reduce fire danger?
I do. I mean, we probably won't see the extent of clear-cut logging in Old Forest, although that's still happening, by the way. Even with the executive order in place, there are dozens of forests that are still being logged. Their mature and old-growth trees removed, even though this process is going forward, which is why we called for a moratorium in good faith to allow the process, to allow scientists and the public to weigh in on the draft document. So while we are weighing in, there are forests that are being cut down. Now, hopefully, we won't see the big swaths of clear-cut logging in these older forests, but they'll be plucking trees out and still degrading them over time, because it's usually the large, fire-resistant trees that are important to carbon, to wildlife, to water quality, that are going to be removed in these so-called stewardship projects.
Okay, so you're not really pleased with what you see here. Honestly, for a federal forest management document, I was surprised that it's only 192 pages. In essence, is this a single amendment to all the national forest local plans?
It's guidance. And so what the 128 plans are actually, it's a fewer number of them that have these older forests. We'll have to amend based on that guidance. For example, the Northwest Forest Plan is also going to be amended, and that process already started. And so it's unclear how these two are going to intersect, where you have this old growth amendment process underway at the same time the Northwest Forest Plan is being amended. And my inspection of both processes indicates that the same problems exist, whether or not we're looking at the national amendment or the Northwest Forest Plan amendment. The blame is being placed on fire and insects, and the false solution is that they're going to continue some levels of logging, thinking that they can suppress these natural disturbances, which will not work.
I noticed some conservation groups, not yours, found space between old growth and mature forests and suggested the DEIS could have gone further, and the final could go further in covering that ground. Are you clear on what they're asking for?
Well, I know that when we started this process, it was really quite a pleasant surprise that the president, to his recognition on Earth Day 2022, mentioned mature. Because when you look across the U.S., in the contiguous United States, somewhere around 5% of the old-growth forest remains, and it's had major rippling effects on ecosystems and all the benefits that we get from those natural systems. So the best way forward is to restore what has been damaged by a century or so of logging, and that's why we need the mature forest in there. And so the president mentioned that, but it wasn't carried forward in this EIS process because now they're excluding mature forest. And I think the Forest Service in particular freaked out when they recognized that their inventory process had cataloged about 46% of their forest base was mature and 18% was old growth. This is just on their land base. So that's about two-thirds of their land base that we were asking for some restrictions on because this is all we have left. And so I think they flipped out about that and they left the door wide open for logging in mature forests.
So there are four alternatives, as happens in draft environmental impact statements. There's the no action alternative. There's the modified proposed action. Number two, the preferred alternative. Alternative three is more restrictive standards for old growth. Number four is less restrictive standards for old growth. Is alternative three even your cup of tea, or does that not go far enough?
It doesn't leap. It takes another baby step.
Huh.
So maybe it's two baby steps, but there are still problems with it. And, you know, they continue to blame fire and insects, which are natural processes in these forests that for millennia they have been withstanding and being resilient to. And to think that we can resolve this with chainsaws and bulldozers is just not going to work in extreme climate events that we're seeing that are happening in our region and globally.
Dominic Della Sala is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the chief scientist at Wild Heritage, has been a longtime student and researcher of old-growth forests, and is not particularly pleased by what he sees in the draft environmental impact statement on the old-growth amendment for federal forests in the country. The comment period is open until September 20th. You can send comments right now to the Jefferson Exchange at jx@jeffnet.org. Let's really get into the weeds for just a second here. I wonder how subjective some of this can be. If you stick to numbers like diameter at breast height, you've got some math, you've got some science here. But if you're saying things like characteristics of old growth, it seems to allow for quite a bit of room for interpretation.
I think it does, but I think the science has really evolved in the last decade or so. I know that, at least for my team of scientists, we published actually the first inventory of the nation's mature and old growth forest, even before the administration did. And what was really cool about our analysis is that we used LIDAR, laser pulse imagery, on board the JEDI space array that was made available by NASA for the first time. I always wanted to be a rocket scientist. And so I got access to these data, and we were able to see in three dimensions the height and the canopy density of these forests so that we could map them depending on those characteristics and classify them as mature and old growth. So we've reduced a lot of that subjectivity, and especially when you can verify that using ground plots, which we did and which the Forest Service did. So we have gotten better at seeing what these forests look like remotely and on the ground, and we're ready for a cohesive policy now, and it's unfortunate that the administration dropped the ball.
Baby steps and not leaps.
Correct. And we're in a climate and a biodiversity crisis. The U.S., including President Biden at the time, signed on to an international pledge to end deforestation and forest degradation by 2030. And yet this policy, this DEIS, does nothing to end degradation, and it just continues that process regardless of the pledge that we signed.
In addition to the modern science, the satellite imagery, all that sort of stuff, indigenous knowledge gets mentioned in the DEIS a fair amount, with a lot of stature attached.
I think so. And I think, you know, there's a wonderful intersection that can happen between traditional ecological knowledge and scientific knowledge. I think there's a lot of overlap there. I think from the scientific community, we can learn a lot from traditional ecological knowledge in the indigenous community, particularly cultural burning practices that would be part of restoring these forests. So I think that's a positive thing in the document. It's just unfortunate that they didn't take the necessary step to actually give us protection and strong conservation measures.
Has it been somewhat humbling to scientists to admit that some of what's been regarded as recent discoveries actually goes back potentially thousands of years?
Oh, without a doubt. I've always had that in the back of my mind, that we're discovering what they already knew. And that's the beauty of how science intersects with traditional ecological knowledge.
All right. So I believe I have your framework for your feelings about the DEIS here. So basically, none of the alternatives even come close to what you would have liked to have seen when you were calling for a moratorium just a few months ago.
I think so. And I think what needs to happen here is the White House has to step it up. They have to intervene and say, look, we need some additional guidance here. This doesn't match what we were hoping for with the executive order, and you need to go further. And unless that happens, I'm really doubtful that we're going to get a strong enough conservation policy that can weather whatever changes are ahead in the elections.
Public comment is open until September 20th. You've got some experience doing this. So for the people who don't, though, who don't know an LMP from a DEIS, what would you recommend in terms of submitting comments and the kinds of things to include?
There are all kinds of different alerts that are up. If you just Google alert old growth forest, you'll get a whole bunch of conservation alerts that'll come up, and you can participate in that respect. And you can also access the environmental impact statement that's on the Forest Service website and add your own comments to it.
We are linked to the project page for the Old Growth Amendment at our website at jeffexchange.org, as well as to Dominic De La Sala's group, Wild Heritage. So the DEIS will be out there for public comment again until September 20th. That's the end of the 90-day public comment period that started on June 21st. You'll be hearing a lot more about old growth and more reactions to it, I'm sure, through the summer and through the comment period. Dominic De La Sala is the chief scientist at Wild Heritage. Thanks for joining us once again on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks, Jeffrey. And take a hike in these forests. They are truly a gift.